So the entire subject matter of Vedanta has to be given in a nutshell, in a work, the teaching of Vedanta. And for one to be ready for Vedanta, to be inclined for knowledge, to be interested in knowledge, to even to discover the desire for knowledge of the reality, one should know the value of knowledge. Unless a person comes to know the value of knowledge, what one can gain out of knowledge, what one can gain by attaining knowledge of the reality. Unless one understands, it is impossible for one to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, even to have desire for knowledge. And to know the value of knowledge, and in fact, it is also important to know what is karma, what is action, what is performance of an action, what is doing one's duty, what all one can gain as a result of karma, what one cannot gain, what can be produced as a result, produced by karma, what cannot be produced by karma, is what is knowing the, plus and minus, okay, what I'm saying, what it can do, what it cannot do, what karma cannot give, it's very important to know. Then what karma cannot give, is it important for us or not? Then that knowledge will help us to discover the desire for knowledge. Therefore, that's why the teaching has to begin, talking about the karma. That's why Ramana also begins talking about the karma in his Upadesha Saram, the text. So just do that now. Why he begins, the karma, he starts with the karma. And we saw how he begins his... What we seek choicelessly, as a choiceless goal, is fullness. And that fullness is timeless reality. Fullness and reality are one and the same. They are not two different things. Niraivum parambarulum iruveru porulgal alla. Nireve parambarul parambarule nireve. Understand? So the fullness is reality and reality is fullness. And that is what is sought after. So what is sought after by us is fullness and happiness. And that is non-different from the very reality. Therefore, knowing what reality is itself is knowing what fullness is. That is why means and end are identical there. But that fullness, being the ultimate, that cannot be the result of something which is time-bound. Therefore, the action is what? Time-bound in nature. I told you how any action is a constituent of many units of actions. Any action has a beginning, time of when we begin, time when you end, and therefore it's a time-bound in nature, and it cannot produce a result, which is timeless. And second thing, this karma also is what? It is jadam, because it is a product of ignorance. I explained to you last class how karma, why karma is said to be jadam here. Why it is said to be jadam? Because a product of ignorance. Why? The very performance of actions, performance of any action itself, is expression of one's desire. Desire alone, the modified form of desire is what? The external activity is a modified form of the result, converted form of desire. And that desire itself is what born of our needs. Desire is born, desire comes into existence. Asa endra ondru thondruvade nammude thevegalalena. Understand? Because there are needs that which really results in desires. It is nobody is creating the desires. Understand? Desire is naturally arising because of the pressure of caused by the needs. And the needs themselves are there. Needs are due to our inadequacy. Kuraigal irukkindra vare thevai irundhu kondae irukkum. Understand now? Now why there is such a thing called inadequacy? Inadequacy is also nobody has created it, it is naturally there. And this sense of being inadequate, which results in this needs, and the needs result in the desires, and desires impel actions. And if you see why then inadequacy is there, why there is such a thing called inadequacy, yen kurai irikkirathu, why there is inadequacy, why there is sense of being inadequate, why there is such a thing, inadequacy. Understand? Our reason is, I feel inadequate, okay, I have a sense of being inadequate because of these reasons. We have number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, you can give a list of reasons. Only one kore, you know. If my daughter gets married, I'll be free from that kore. We think number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. Suppose my son gets a job, I'll be free from inadequacy. That is my kore. What is my inadequacy? Why I feel inadequate now? What is that now? Only this thing. Son gets a job. First admission in university. Then afterwards job. Now afterwards no. Nalla ponnu karachi marriage. Now afterwards I wish I also can have some 2 grandchildren. Be nice. At least 2. And then the list goes. And now what is that? At least my children get settled. Not to buy some property and settled. Always something. The reasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Not we can put lots of list of things. What you think as reason for your inadequacy. That is why we always try to fulfill them, okay? Okay, if I solve this particular thing, then I'll be free. One thing which makes me feel inadequate will be, okay, can be erased. And next thing like that, we try. That's all our efforts are karma. Understand now? The inadequacy causes what now? The need to cause, to do something. Then the pressure. Then the desire. Then you accordingly act. Then contacting and doing and, you know, all those things we do. This is how we try to understand now. This is what inadequacy. We have our own reasons for being inadequate. But our Shastram tells a different thing. E kuregal irupadal nerevu illamal illai. Understand now? Your inadequacy is not due to all these reasons we have. These things really do not make you feel the sense of inadequacy. And the inadequacy is due to, understand now, due to the fundamental problem. What is the fundamental problem? The fundamental problem of, okay, this smallness being centered on I. Not because of these things, but we think, see, our understanding is totally different. All these things only really are respond for my feeling being inadequate. Basically, it's a fundamental, what is the problem? It's only a symptom. Okay, the reasons, all the reasons you have, these are all the reasons why I feel inadequate. They're all only, really speaking, only just symptoms. Like, really speaking, there's a fundamental problem of the smallness being centered on I. Understand? And that smallness being centered on I is due to your adhyasa. Understand now? Or adhyasa is what now? Because absolutely your identity is with the body, mind, sense complex. Nothing wrong in having identity with the body, mind, sense complex. But you should also know there is something else. You are more than what you are. And that identity, wrong identity is what? Due to your lack of right identity. And the lack of right identity is due to the lack of knowledge. Due to the ignorance of what actually you are, what actually the self is. What is Satyam is not known, therefore what is Mithya is mistaken for Satyam. This is why the reason. Therefore in discovering what the self is, what the truth is, your fullness becomes discovered. Once the fullness is discovered, as I told you, remember this, Kundo to Kailasam, understand? All these things together simultaneously will resolve. You are not driving them away, they will just resolve. That is what is the problem, understand? Therefore, this is because of ignorance. As long as ignorance is there, agyanam is there, which is beginningless, which is uncreated, which is natural. Therefore, ignorance born problems are also natural. That is why anything natural, you don't need to say it is wrong to have, it is improper to have. That is why it is, don't need to have any guilt. The guilt is only if you choose to do something wrong, you can have guilt. Guilt is possible only if you know that you have chosen to do something which is wrong. Then it is possible for you to have guilt. But what is natural, how can you be guilty about being desirous? How can you be guilty about having needs? How can you be guilty about being in feeling, about having sense of being inadequate? Why do you need to be guilty? Understand? That is why you don't need to be guilty about being, be angry, getting angry, all those things. You have natural problems. Natural. Nothing has been created. It is not your choice. You have not chosen to be angry, chosen to be desirous. Understand? You have not chosen anything. It is not you. You have not used your will here. Your will is not involved here. They are naturally there. You have not chosen to be ignorant. Understand? So ignorance is uncreated, beginningless, natural. Therefore, ignorance born is what now? Also, remember these technical terms, okay? Ajnanam is natural. Because of ajnanam, you have adhyasaha. Wrong identity is what? Adhyasa. Erroneous self-perception is due to ajnanam, adhyasaha. Nadhyasat, adhyaropaha. Adhyasa results in what? Adhyaropaha, superimposition of the limitations, all the limitations of the anatma, the body, mind, and complex upon the atma, the self, upon I, okay? Is what? Superimposition. And do you want to do that? You're not doing it. Helpless. Natural. Once the limitations are superimposed upon I, the atma, then what happens? The self, then naturally, you think, then that's a, you tend to have a notion, ahankara. Understand? So, ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, then what happens? Ahankaraha. Ahankaraha is what? Not the I am is okay, but then the notion you have about yourself is what? Which is erroneous. Because the notion you have about yourself is erroneous because based on your erroneous self-perception. Understand, in perception of the self, error is there. Therefore, the notion you have about yourself also is erroneous. I'm a limited being, okay, etc. All the notions one has about oneself, based on erroneous self-perception, is for ahankara only. Therefore, ahankara. I want ahankara is there. This ahankara is nothing wrong to be ahankari. Understand now? Ahankara. We use ahankara, the word in the sense of arrogance. Isn't it? That's why we understand any notion one has about oneself is ahankara. Any complex is ahankara only. Superiority complex also is ahankara. Inferiority complex also is ahankara. I'm superior, I'm inferior. Both are wrong. Isn't it? Any complex is expression of ahankara only. Because due to one's wrong notions. That is why having ahankara, that is why if you give up ahankara, will be free. Ahankaram. That is why against guilt, added guilt. I want to give pahankara and everybody comes and tells me to give pahankara. The so-called spiritual people come and tell me to give pahankara and which I want to give up, I'm not able to give up because the poor don't even understand the problem. Am I holding on to ahankara to give pahankara? No, you cannot give pahankara. In fact, you should be happy that you have ahankara. If you don't have ahankara, means the knowledge that I am also will not be there. Only then you can have will be free from ahankara. You should be crawling or flying or not, walking on four legs. Not to have any ahankara. Understand? No animal has ahankara. Know that. All animals are all free from ahankara only. Because there is no self-consciousness. I am is not. Knowledge is not there. And no other notion which can be added to I am also is what? Anything added to. I am so and so. Anything added to I am is what? Ahankara. For which the basis is I am. Knowledge. Therefore, you are very fortunate, you should have ahankara, thereby you can free yourself from ahankara, which can become free for good. Free from the hold of ahankara. If ahankara is not there at all, it's a problem, understand? Again, it will have to take janmas again. Like animals, steeped in ignorance, totally steeped in ignorance. That is why there's a guilt need not be there. That's what I wanted to tell, so ahankara. சாக்யானம் அத்தியாசக அத்தியாரோபக தென் அகங்காரா அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ் அகங்காரா தென் வி சே ஒன்ஸ் அ நோஷன் இஸ் தேர் தட் இஸ் வென் திஸ் தி ப்ராப்ளம் ஆஃப் ஸ்மால்னஸ் பீங் ஹண்டட் ஆன் ஐ தென் வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் திஸ் அகங்கார ரிசல்ட்ஸ் இன் வாட் ஆஷா I am small, that notion comes, then that results in what? Asha. Look at this. Asha is what desire comes. Shankara says, avidya kamaha. It gives up all these in-between things. Yes, says, avidya kamaha. Ignorance results in, okay, then asha, desire, kamaha. Then what? Then, once a kama is there, then karma. Now say this word, I am a doer, I am an enjoyer, okay, I have this desire, I have to fulfill this, I am a doer, I am an enjoyer. These are all notions again. Then you have avidya, kama. This kama, then karma, then you do karma. Then once you do karma, karma produces phalam. Once you have phalam, you have, it has to be exhausted, for which you have to be born again. You saw samsara continues, okay? That is why Shankara, he says, come on, so what is the root cause of the very performance of action? Is ignorance, therefore it's karma jadam. Is it clear? And then, because it karma, karma is not opposed to ignorance. Why? Because karma being the great grandchild of ignorance. Understand now? Very attached, very close. Therefore, karma and ignorance, performance of actions and ignorance of the self are not opposed to each other. If it opposed, it can eliminate ignorance. Then moksha is possible. As long as you do karma, keep on doing karma, it will not do any harm to ignorance. Therefore, what? Not any harm to ignorance. Ignorance will be well protected and taken care of. Understand? Badrama nallark, sokama pushtiya, healthy, ignorance will be sitting there. Understand? That's why it's not opposed. Therefore, performance of, that does not mean performance of action is wrong. Please understand here, that's why I'm repeating it today. What Ramana tries to say here is, our performance of action is very good. We have to do that. But performance of action is not appropriate means for moksha, which is your end. It's a, understand now, wrong means for right end. Understand now. It is like, if you have some problem in stomachache, you can't go and take some other medicine. Understand? That's what that medicine is, because that medicine is useless. Headache medicine is not useless. It serves a purpose, but it is useless with reference to, it is not appropriate for stomachache. What is the problems are different, so solution also should be different, isn't it? That's why karma, please understand, what are you doing all the time? You become a workaholic doing so much of work for fulfilling all your things. You think by fulfilling these desires, let me do this, let me fulfill this desire. This need, this, let me get rid of this need, let me at least solve this one small problem, one small ursinna kore pohatum, let me do this, let me do this, let me solve this, let me solve this. All the time you are doing nothing wrong, but please stop and think. You are through all these, by fulfilling all the desires, what you want is this. Ultimately what you seek is this only. That cannot be gained as a result of karma. Understand? That has to be gained, attained as a through knowledge only. Just the knowing, knowledge is what is needed, not the karma for that. Understand? So he is not saying anything inferior of karma. Does not talk ill, does not degrade karma here. He only says, what, please understand the limitation of karma. Please understand what action is all about, why we are acting. How we are with a choicelessly, okay, with us, we have nothing to do about karma. We had to do karma. But we have to understand, what are we doing this for? Why karma? இந்த செயல்படுதல் என்ற ஒன்று ஏன் இருக்கிறது? Why is it there? Understand now? This is what the Shastram tells you, these reasons very systematic, no? Clearly. Therefore, the Moola Karanam, now what is the Karmanaha Moola Karanam Kim, no? The Moola Avidya, understand now? Moola Avidya means what? The root cause of all these things, not the one leads to the other. The root cause is what? Desire is the direct cause for action. What is the root cause of the karma? Ignorance. Therefore, ignorance has to be dispelled for the other problem. For ignorance goes, ignorance of self goes. If knowledge, not dispelling of ignorance is knowledge, isn't it? Ignorance goes means there is knowledge of the reality. Then the knowledge of reality is known, fullness is known, fullness is known, fullness is, that's all. That's what you want. Knowledge is that important here. It's not the karma. Karma is jadam. And the second thing, he says one more thing, a karma, we say karma produces phalam. Okay, definitely phalam follows the karma. After you do a karma, definitely the phalam of that karma is definitely going to come. Never karma fails, law of action. But the karma itself does not produce the phalam. The phalam of the karma is determined by the natural order, law, that is, which is Ishvara, Bhagavan. That is why he started like this. Remember that? Karturajnaya prapyate phalam. Karturajnaya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Karma kim param, karma tajjadam. Shruti Kriti Mahodadho Patana Karanam. Kriti Mahodadho Patana Karanam. Kriti Mahodadho Patana Karanam. Kriti Mahodadho Patana Karanam. Phalam Ashashvatam Gati Nirodhakam. Phalam Ashashvatam Gati Nirodhakam. Phalam Ashashvatam Gati Nirodhakam. Phalam Ashashvatam Gati Nirodhakam. So Kriti Mahodadau, I told you, Maha Udadau Patana Karanam. No, it's a cause for falling into this endless cycle of samsara. Kriti Mahodadihi means ocean of samsara. Why it's called? Because once you do karma, it produces phalam, and to exhaust the phalam, you have to be born again. Once you are born, again you have to do karma. Once a karma you do, again you accumulate punya papa. Again to exhaust, you have to be born again. Therefore, this assumption of a new body, again living a life, doing karma, again accumulating punya papa, again being born to exhaust the karma, will be endless. Okay? That is why Kriti Mahodado Patana Karanam. Performance of karma will keep you in like cycle of samsara. That means what? It will produce a phalam. What can karma do? It will produce a phalam. If phalam is produced, what should you be doing? You have no choice. It has to be exhausted. Understand now? It has to be enjoyed. The fruit has to be eaten. Then once the fruit is, it has to be enjoyed, and to enjoy the fruit, again, you have to be born. Once you are born, you have to do karma again. No choice. And no choice about doing the karma. Isn't it? And no choice about doing karma. Choice over karma. No choice about doing the karma. Again, phalam, this is how Kriti Mahodado Patana Karanam. And not only that, he says, phalam ashashvatam. What karma? Any phalam it produces, ashashvatam, is time bound. Understand? It can never give you shashvatam phalam, which is moksha. Shashvatam phalam is what? Moksha. It can never give. Ashashvatam phalam is the phalam that can be produced by karma. Then second thing, how can shashvataha mokshaha be the result of ashashvatam karma? Understand? So, nilayatra karma val, nilayana mokshate koduka mudiyadu. Understand? Ashashvatam Palam. Then he says here, Palam Ashashvatam Gati Nirodhakam. Nirodhakam means it obstructs. It will never be, as long as simply performing karma will never help you discover moksha. Simply performing karma will never discover, help you discover moksha. So, gati nirodhakam. Understand? It will obstruct you, block you from discovering moksha. Because all your time will be exhausted in, time will be consumed in doing karma, for doing karma and enjoying the results, and the attention will be there totally. Mind cannot really work for discovering moksha. This is the limitation of karma. Now, that means, does it mean that we should not do karma at all or what? No, we have to do karma. Why you have to do karma? Then what can karma do? Okay, I brought the book today just to see my verse. So he says here, Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Chittashodhakam mukti sadhakam. Chittashodhakam mukti sadhakam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Chittashodhakam mukti sadhakam. Chittashodhakam mukti sadhakam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Okay, that's how he says here. If karma, that is fine. Therefore, he only said, moksha needs jnanam, atma jnanam. You cannot say, I don't want moksha. You have no choice about, okay, choice over moksha. About moksha. You have to discover moksha, because moksha is the choiceless end for you. And that has to be discovered, that has to be known. And the knowledge of moksha has to be attained. What is happiness? What is fullness? What is sorrowlessness? What is freedom from moksha? What is it is free from limitations? That has to be discovered. That has to be not. All that you need is jnanam. Knowledge alone you need. That case, okay, then. So they not do any karma then. And I don't need to do any karma at all. No, that's also not right. Because, if you do not do any karma at all, non-performance of action definitely will not help you discover moksha. Or performance of action also will not help you discover moksha. No, in Gita, Krishna says here actually, nakarmana manarambhat. No, naishkarmyam purushoshnute naka karmanam anarambhat. Okay, we're not beginning to do anything. Are not performing an action, you cannot attain moksha. They are not there. Moksha needs jnanam, atma jnanam, knowledge of the reality, self-knowledge. Moksha doesn't require all these things. Whether you do not do, doesn't matter. That's not different on karma. But jnanam, but to have the jnanam, look at this, to have the knowledge. Shankara says, even this morning I didn't undakopra bhasham. Shankara says very beautifully. But for the jnanam, all that you need to do is what? You have to be contemplative. For jnanam, what do you need? Contemplation. Listen, contemplation is what you need. You have to be contemplative. Without being contemplative, it is impossible for you to have the ascertained vision of the reality. What do you mean by contemplation? What do you mean by contemplation? A contemplation means the attention of the mind, okay, remaining absorbed in the nature of reality. Manadin gavanam idayaradu parambarulin sorupatil layithiruthal. Understand? Does it mean that I should not be doing anything else? No. That is what is important here. Whatever you do, you can be doing anything, still it should be such that you should not be able to miss the reality in everything that you see here. So in order to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, to remain the attention of the mind to remain absorbed in the nature of reality, to be able to always see the reality in everywhere and everything, okay, that implies that contemplative disposition. Now, to have that disposition, again, you need two things. What are two things? One is steady mind. The capacity to focus your attention on the nature of reality, the distraction. Then, knowledge of the reality. If you do not know what is the nature of the reality, what is the nature of reality, then you cannot focus attention on the nature of reality. How can you think of something which you do not know? So, to think of something continuously, you know, constantly, consistently, definitely you should know that object, isn't it? Similar here also, one should have the knowledge of the reality. One should know what is paramparul, paramparul sorupam enna, what is the nature of the reality, one should know. Then one should also enjoy what? The steady mind. Then it is possible for one to contemplate upon the nature of reality. Two things are important. Understand? Knowledge of reality, important. No, we have been studying Vedanta and we understand the nature of reality in the class very much, but we are not able to be focused. You know, we are not able to contemplate. Because, again there, you need some, my mind is not steady. No, I've been practicing something and all, I have very steady mind now that, but I don't know what is nature of reality. Therefore, the two things are important. One needs to have knowledge of reality and one should have the steady mind also. Only then one can be in contemplation. Contemplation alone will help you ascertain the vision of the reality and which is what? Which is moksha. Oh, what do you mean by knowledge of the reality and the ascertained knowledge of the reality? Understand? If you understand something and which can be forgotten, it is simple understanding. Understand? If you understand something which cannot be forgotten, understand now? The unforgettable knowledge is what? Ascertained understanding. Is it clear now? Therefore, first you understand, then constantly remember that, what you have understood, then ascertain it. Abba, marakkave marakkadu. We always do this, no? Even a simple lyric, if you learn to sing something, even a simple bhajan if you want to sing, first time when you listen, you forget. Oh, what is that next word? And you keep on singing it for some time, then you can never forget. Even 12 o'clock in the midnight, if somebody wakes you up, you can just say that for later. Isn't it? Always, many times it happens in literature, in study, in poetry or anything else. You always, first you listen, and first you learn, and first you pick up. No, even any lyrics people sing, come and sing. You go and listen to some two concerts, you listen to some new songs and lyrics. You pick up the raga, and you pick up some words. Not the whole song. Now something you start humming. I do that. Always we do that. All of us sing, as bathroom singers, we all sing one or two lines. No. And then with the rest, and then the next line we don't remember. Then we hum there, because we don't remember the words. It happens, isn't it? But after some time, you keep trying to listen to that again. Listen to that and sing with that. Or sing again, the same song, keeping the lyric in front of you, words in front of you, script in front of you. That's all. You will never forget it. It's called ascertainment. Understand now? As you listen, you know the raga, you get pick up all the words. As the person is singing, as you, suppose it happens to be in Tamil. From Tamil part, somebody sings. A nice classical music. As you listen, you see the literal meaning of the words. You enjoy the ragam. You see everything, you are there 100%. But you don't remember all the words. As you are listening, understanding, you understand. But you forget. You know that you did not understand? You don't remember. You forget. That's called having understanding, but forgetting. But ascertained knowledge means what? No, unforgettable. Okay? Then wherein you cannot forget it at all. It's called ascertained understanding. But to have ascertained understanding, you should have first what? Understanding. Abba is what people have been asking all the time. What is the difference between simply understanding and ascertained understanding? Ascertained knowledge and simply knowledge. First of all, you know what is the nature of Brahman. So study Shastram. Like this, no? You keep on listening. Keep on listening to some text or the other. Listen to the unfoldment of the some text or the other. And you understand the nature of reality there. By listening again and again and again, you understand. You have an understanding of what is the nature of reality. How the reality is. Parampurul evvuruvil eppadi irikkirathu. Understand now? How is the reality? And how by understanding the meaning of the word, Shastram has its own methodology, it helps you understand what is the nature of the reality. Abba, you got an understanding now. And no doubt. This is how the reality is, you understand. But still you can forget. Your mind cannot be there in the reality all the time. It can go to something else also. Not something else. All the time it's out. And therefore, that you make deliberate effort to constantly think about the nature of reality. Constantly dwell upon the nature of reality. Always having enquiry into this nature of reality. How can you do it if you do not know what it is? Understand?
No, in theory, what?
But
in practice.
No, there's no such thing called practice. There's no such thing called practice. Okay. It's, I want this all. That's why Shastram repeats. See what happens? We become very impatient because of our interest in moksha. Because the mind needs lot of training. Mind needs lot of, that's what we think. It's like everything, how we get everything fast. Because Shankara says in the Bhashyam, even this morning he was explaining why Shastram repeats. No? Why Shastra Shravanam? The Shravanam has to be done for quite some time. It's very important. Because Dur Avagahatvat, he says this morning, I explained in Bhashyam. Dur Avagahatvat. Because very difficult to understand and to ascertain. No? It takes time. It doesn't say impossible. It's only difficult because of the subtleness of the subject matter. Understand, it's not any object. See, even physics, subtle facts, it's an object of knowledge, but still it is difficult. People need to really work more with the more attention, the more concentration of service, much subtler mind to appreciate subtle. Even physics facts. Facts understood, to be understood in physics. And what about the very reality? That is why what happens, we do, all of us, all the human beings, we have the nature of, we have the tendency of becoming impatient, we want it soon. But that's why it says, it is not that, that is why in Sampradaya what they do, just keep on listening. Have Shraddha in the words of the teacher, what the teacher says, and what subject matter is taught by the Shastra, revealed by the Shastram. Listen one after the other, many texts. The same subject matter is discussed again and again and again. This is one of the methods of having the ascertained vision. One of the methods, especially people like us, we are not all the time, we have so many other things to do also, isn't it? How can we have it? He says that Shankara in his Bhashyam, he makes it very clear. So authentic words from Shankara's itself, Dur Avagahatvat. No, he says, Avagamanam is Avadharanam. Avagamanam is understanding. Avadharanam is ascertaining what has been understood. For which avagamanam, what you have understood you can forget, but in avadharanam you don't forget. Then you can never forget it. Never forget it. And so here, the subject matter, vastu happens to be very you. How can you forget yourself, which you understood as the self? Understand now? The question of knowing first, then at ascertaining it. That is why here, what is important is, a contemplation, that is why it is not, people talk about this meditation, but contemplation is the actual meditation. Understood now? This is the purpose. Contemplation is the meditation. Why do I need to meditate? What is meditation for? It is not for simple other things, okay? But actually meditation is for, meditation is meditation. If you say what is meditation, meditation, meditating upon the nature of reality is contemplation. But contemplation is actual meditation. Understand? And that will result in what? Ascertained vision, which is moksha. But contemplation is very easy, moksha is very easy. What you need is first knowledge of the nature of reality and then also the mind, liquid mind. So knowledge of reality also you can understand, you can get if with the, once you know the value of knowledge, once you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then you stumble upon a teacher, your own, you know, the seriousness in knowing that somewhere something happens, something work out, and then you will stumble upon teacher and say, it matters you. I never thought of coming here to this Watford. Okay, never thought. Into London and UK, it will never thought of coming. Maybe somewhere something, some paradha works, you know, I had to have, come and eat here, you know, vadai on Sunday. Sorry, who was that? Understand, all paradha. No. Now what I'm saying, the paradha, everything, you know, I tell you, even to have one drop of water in one house, one somewhere, association, you can't miss it. It's all prarabdha, connections. Bhagavan's wish, that is. That's why just everything is Bhagavan's wish means Bhagavan Vibhuti, isn't it? So nice to know that. Have you ever planned it? Decided? I mean, any big plan of coming and no, I had to find who's Mangam, I had to go to her house and meet all the people there, Sharada Majli, coming from Gillingham, nothing. All of us, how did we come? That's all Bhagavan's wish. And this is how things work. Now what I'm saying here, this is, some inclination is there, somehow we pick up, and somewhere we all together, together we all work for it. It's like a satsanga, where Bhagavan is discussed. So do we know also, but what is, even knowledge also happens in the class. We have avagamanam, not avadharanam, okay? Avadharanam, we need contemplation, it needs continuous thinking of that. That's why for further classes, in the future also I'll be repeating this, but in little differently. That's for avadharanam. Now it is for avagamanam, understanding. Isn't it? Therefore, this avagamanam is okay, along with avagamanam. Okay, we understand, but for contemplation, avagamanam we have. Understanding of object matter we have. Understanding of the nature of the reality, somehow we have by listening to Shastram. But what is that? No, I'm not able to be focused all the time. And then focusing means not that one has to sit in a place and always be thinking of that. Not that. Just whatever you are doing, that's why it's not, contemplation is not even doing meditation, it's just being in meditation. That's much big difference. I told you already, no? It is not doing meditation, it's being in meditation. If you say it is a doing meditation, no? If something, if contemplation is something which is, I do meditation means, then you need to sit in a place, understand? And then you have to be focused. I mean, focus sense, you have to take attention from everything else and you have to be thinking of it. You know, being in meditation here, it doesn't matter what you are doing, okay? You cannot miss it. Like, even if you see the wave, even if you see the ocean, how you don't miss the invariably what is present in the variable thought, this is what, the waves is what, H2O, like that, okay? What you understand as the self should be invariably available for you in your understanding, it always be there in everything, not with the objects here. Sort of understanding that has to take place. No, that's what I'm saying, even understanding itself is not complete. We started understanding, we are still understanding. Understand, avagamam itself has to be, it will take some time. Then, that's why that is different. It needs a mind, disposition of the mind. for that disposition or Shastra study with the help of a teacher is for understanding what is the nature of reality. But the mind required for being in contemplation, understand now, that mind disposition for which you need Bhagavan's grace. You need what? Bhagavan's grace. There is nothing impossible. Everything is possible provided you have grace. That is why when you read the first verse of Bhagavad, we are going to see that in Bhagavad Gita, we are going to see that how Bhagavan's grace can make the impossible possible. Impossible is becomes possible if we have grace. Anugraha. We need grace. And to tap the grace, we can do one thing we can do is pray, worship. Apart from that, what is to be done? What is to be done for winning the grace of Bhagavan? Understand? Here you have to do your duty. Because by doing your duty, you will become a contributor without being a mere consumer. See, இறைவனுடைய அருள் பெறுவது எப்படி? Understand now? All that we do it, if you are in conformity with universal natural law and order, if our life is in conformity with the universal natural law and order, if the way we live, if we live in harmony with the order, then if we do not disturb the order, then we can have grace. How to win the grace? Just by living a life which does not disturb the universal natural law and order. How can I live without disturbing the order? By living in harmony with the order. How can I live in harmony with the order? By not being a mere consumer. How can I be not a mere consumer, by being a contributor? How can I be a contributor? By doing my duties. Is it by merely doing a duties? No, it's not by merely doing a duties. By doing a duties in conformity with dharma. That's a big thing. This is where we understand the value of dharma. Dharmatin madhipu. Understand what is dharmatin madhipu ennanna? Look at this. We understand here. That is why in our culture, we never separate religion and life, business. Religion and business, religion and life are not two different things. No. For us, everything is based on what? A whole life, whatever you do, she is very much connected to the religious culture. Understand? And which is based on the spiritual vision. We cannot separate. That is why there is very difficult. There is no such thing called, there is secular action, there is sacred action. What is sacred? Worship is sacred. Anything prescribed in the Veda is sacred. What is secular? Mundane, worldly activities. Everything is what for us? All the actions, those actions must be in conformity with dharma. So every individual is what? A doer. Every individual is an enjoyer, because there is a notion, I am a doer and I am an enjoyer. And there is a need, because there is a physical body. And the needs are there, biological needs are there. They have to be addressed. They can't be just ignored. Even fulfilling the biological, addressing the biological needs, the problems also is what? Dharma. If you starve, it's adharma. You know that you have no right to starve. It's a papa karma. Understand, isn't it? If you hurt yourself, also it's papa karma.
We don't.
Papa karma means, Shankara somewhere says here, people think, no, in fact, as an eighth, sometimes as a prayer, people do lot of, you know, even suppose sudupotukkiradhu, even hurting your own body, no, your own body, no, causing pain to your own body, and my own body I can do sometimes, unless you are mad, okay, you are not allowed to do that. If you do it consciously, knowingly, it's a papa karma. Because it's been given to you, it is not, understand now? You are allowed to be here to take care of it. That's all. That's why committing a suicide is a papa. Leave alone homicide, okay? Because you have no right to do anything. It has been just given and then just take care of it. That's all. Because everything there causing pain to anything is himsa, papa karma. Whether it is somebody else's body is mahapapam, okay? If it's your own body, it's also papam only still. That's why what I'm saying here, any karma you do, understand? So that's why the biological needs are there, which are natural, and they have to be addressed. So for which you need to earn a livelihood, understand? Therefore you need to do your duties, and not only that, duties means duty. When you say you become duty means, then it involves what? Many role plays. You have to play your roles. And in every role, playing every role, you have to do lot of actions. All the actions. In all your role plays, doesn't matter, okay? In playing every role, in doing all your actions, in doing your duties, and there you see all those actions are in conformity with dharma. That means you may have so many desires, nothing wrong, you can fulfill all your desires. Nobody can stop, nobody is said to be wrong, okay, if one has disease. If you have disease, you are not wrong. You can have any amount of disease. You can fulfill all your desires. No problem, as long as you don't transgress values, dharma. That's the only way. Understand? So here he says, do your actions in conformity with dharma, all your actions. Therefore, it's dharma governed actions. So performance of duties, performance of any karma in conformity with dharma is what becomes, it also contributes, makes the karma yoga. It's a karma yoga. The mere karma, if it is not dharma governed, it becomes a mere karma which will bind, and karma yoga, no, will contribute for preparing the mind for contemplation. It will contribute for acquiring, understand, of gaining contemplative disposition of the mind. It's very important. Otherwise impossible. That's why to win the grace, there's no way of tapping Bhagavan's grace without living a life of dharma. You know that is why here it's not mechanically morning, get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, do elaborate big puja. Now once you go to the office, there you're a different person, okay? They're all against dharma. Very, this is, understand now, here it's, that's why it's being religious, does not prevent one from being unethical. There you can do things which are not right, underhand these, okay? Then all, not dharma again. So that's why here it is very important, not only here, understand now, all your actions, commitment to live a life of dharma, irrespective of what the results will be. Understand, losses and gains are not taken into account here. What, understand now, not at all taken into account. That means your fancies are not considered, your own mental fancies are not considered. Your whims and fancies are just ignored. You just, your commitment is to dharma, and then your actions are in conformity with dharma, then the karma becomes karma yoga. Understand now? What is your karma yoga? And not only that, then you perform, because you have purushartha nischaya, and you know the value of knowledge also here, you know the value of enjoying, getting, you know, this, the disposition of the mind required for the contemplative disposition of the mind, which implies steadiness and purity. Now, for which, now, once you know that I'm living this life, this is very important to know. I earn, no, I pursue artha and kama to live this life. But I am living this life not to pursue artha kama, but to discover the truth. That is why the purpose of life becomes very clear. What is the ultimate purpose of living this life? When this life become really meaningful and successful? Arthamudaya vaalkai, na eppozhudhu aagiradhana? When does life become meaningful? The life lived to discover the truth. Even whether you have discovered the truth or not, still the life lived for discovering the truth is a meaningful life. Because we will again pick up somewhere or the other, you will discover it. The life lived for discovering the truth is what? A meaningful life. A life lived for discovering the truth becomes really successful life also. But to live the life, you have to pursue artha and kama. Look at this. To live the life, you have to pursue artha and kama. That is why all artha, kama pursuits, the time-bound ends become what? Means. Serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end. One has to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma to live this life. Okay? Ultimately to discover the moksha. Discover happiness. Life is lived for discovering the truth, not for pursuing artha kama. But to live this life, you pursue artha and kama. This must be very clear. Once this is very clear, all your actions become offered to Bhagavan. Ishwararpitam. Understand? How can I offer my actions to Bhagavan? He is going to say that by offering all one's actions to Bhagavan, so you can convert your work as worship. Work itself becomes worship when, if it is offered to Bhagavan. If you can offer your action to Bhagavan, then your action you perform becomes worship. The work becomes worship. If it is offered to Bhagavan. And next question comes, how can I offer my actions to Bhagavan? By having an attitude of offering it to Ishvara. How can I have an attitude of offering my actions to Bhagavan? By being very clear. Understand? Being very clear makes your actions offered to Bhagavan. Understand? So how can I, what should I be clear about? All that I seek is moksha, happiness and fullness. Nirevu enbadu enakku vandu thavirkka mudiyada. Understand now? Nirevu is my choiceless end. And to discover that, I am living this life. Until I discover that fullness, this life will be a continuous one. Samsara will never come to an end until you discover fullness. Samsara will come to an end once you discover fullness. Understand? That is what Shastram says. That is why, but to live, you are living this life to discover fullness. And for which, now to live this life, I need to pursue artha and kama. But to be able, and that fullness happens to be discovered in as my own self, as the very truth of the meaning of the word, not truth of the I, as the meaning of the word I, as the very subject. Therefore, it cannot be discovered elsewhere, only in the mind. And manamennam koilil, understand now, this is not elsewhere. That is why Subramanya is called Guha. You know that? Why Guha? Murganukku, we have many names. Look at this, all our gods' meanings are very beautiful. We have many words to mean Bhagavan. One of the words to mean the Lord is Guha. Guhaha, Guhan. Very common name. Guhane. Listen now, we call. Why? Because mind is a Guha, cave. And one who remains, hidden, one who is hiding, Guhayul ஒளிந்திருக்கிறதுனால, அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், ஒளிந்திருப்பது போல் இருப்பதால குஹன் பேர் பகவானுக்கு. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், பிகாஸ் ஹீ ரிமைன் பகவான். வேர் டு யூ வாண்ட் டு கோ அண்ட் சர்ச் ஃபார் பகவான்? வேர் டு யூ வாண்ட் டு கோ அண்ட் சர்ச் ஃபார் த ட்ரூத்? நோ, எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் ட்ரூத். வை ஷுட் ஐ நாட் சர்ச் ஃபார் த ட்ரூத் எவ்ரிவேர்? கமான், எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் ட்ரூத் ஒன்லி. பட் இஃப் யூ வாண்ட் டு நோ ட்ரூத், இஸ் அ சட்லஸ்ட் திங். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ்? தட் இஸ் வை இட் இஸ் அவைலபிள் ஃபார் ரெக்கக்னிஷன் இன் த மைண்ட், நாட் எல்ஸ்வேர், நாட் ஆன் தி பாடி. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்? குஹா. That is why the Paramarul is called Guhan. One who remains, one who is hiding in the cave of mind. One who remains hidden in the mind. That is Marai Porul. Understand now? In Tamil we say Marai Porul. No, what is Marai? Marai is Marendirikkinra. Understand now? Marai Porul. This is Vedam is called Marai. Why it is called Marai? Because that which brings to light the Marai Porul. Understand now? மறைஞ்சு ஒளிஞ்சிட்டு இருக்கிற பொருளை உனக்கு விளங்க வைக்கிறதால பேர் மறைன்னு பேரு வேதத்துக்கு. மறை, வேதாஸ் கார்டு மறை. அண்ட் மறை பொருள் எது? வாட் இஸ் தட் பொருள்? வாட் இஸ் தட் சப்ஸ்ட் அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி விச் ரிமைன்ஸ் நவ், விச் இஸ் ஹைடிங், விச் ரிமைன்ஸ் ஹிடன்? இது குஹா. இட்ஸ் ஆல் இன் தி மைண்ட் ஒன்லி, இட் ஹாஸ் டு பி டிஸ்கவர்ட். தட் இஸ் வை இட்ஸ் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட், வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டு டேக் கேர் ஆஃப் திஸ் மைண்ட். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ்? மனசை காப்பாற்றணும். Understand now, mind is very, very important, for very great treasure, very delicate darling, baby. It has to be protected and fondled and taken care of. How? The mind has to be protected. Mind has to be taken care of. Mind is very important for us. Not only the body is important, all our efforts are only to take care of the body. What are we doing? Of course, taking care of body is very important. If we do not taking care of the body, it's not going to help us in any way. Still affect the mind also. Understand now? But at the same time, mind also has to be taken care of. Because that is where the reality has to be recognized there only. That is where it's available for recognition. Understand? And then that mind has its own nature of being agitated. That mind has to be sort of, it has to have certain, become free from impurities. It has to become free from, because a lot of agitations, his own problems are there. And then the mind has to become, the steady, disciplined, very indisciplined and unsteady. Therefore, how are you going to gain it? Only by living a life of karma yoga. Understand? That is why for the indisciplined mind to become disciplined, unsteady mind to become steady, மனம் சரியான போதும், ஞானம் இஸ் நத்திங், இஸ் வெரி ஈஸி. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்? யூ ஆர் ஆஸ்கிங், யூ ஆர் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் எவ்ரி திங் இஸ், பட் ஹவு டு பிராக்டிபிக்கல்? தேர் இஸ் நத்திங் டு பி பிராக்டிக்கல். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நோ? பிராக்டிக்கல் வேதாந்தா, பிளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். ஈவன் தோ தட் புக்ஸ் அவைலபிள் லைக் டச் புக்ஸ், வேதாந்தா நீட் நாட் பி, வேதாந்தா இஸ் நாட் சம்திங் டு பி பிராக்டிஸ்ட். கர்மா இஸ் சம்திங் டு பி பிராக்டிஸ்ட். வை? நோ கர்மா, தென் பிராக்டிஸ் இட், implement it into action, then get the phalam. Vedanta need not be practiced, cannot be practiced. From just the knowledge, understand now, your eyes are open, what practice do you need to do to see the light? What practice do you need to do? No practice. Only all the problem is, understand now, what is it which sees? Because what practice do we need to see the light as it is? The mind. And so now, all this, I'm not able to see the light properly. I know this light, but it's not very blurred. A problem is with their eyes. Understand now? Similarly, the mind has the problem. Mind is the problem. I'm not only, all of us, all our minds, mind is the problem. Mind is not the problem, mind is of that nature. That is why you have to make that mind, okay, create a condition such as that mind wherein it can have the first understanding, then it can be, can always be with that, then it can ascertain this. Yatra yasmin manasi vastunaha avagamanam tatha avadharanancha bhavet. Listen now, where it can, there can be understanding, then there can be ascertainment also. Asking off the vastu also can happen. Therefore, all the mind has to be taken care of, for which you need abundance of grace. Nariya anugraham vanana. How will you win the grace here? Grace of the order and so now grace. That is why the grace is not another form. Again, it's not something very mystic. I am not using this. Not for me, grace is not a mystic word. Understand now? Grace means to win the grace, required to have that contemplative disposition of the mind is, you know, just to live by living a life which does not disturb the order. Non-disturbance of the order implies living a life which is in harmony with the order. Living a life in harmony with the order implies what? No, just doing one's duties. No, by which without being a mere consumer, one also becomes a contributor. For which again, to be the contributor and not without being a mere consumer, one has to do one's duties. And duties means, duties imply playing doing different actions and playing different roles. So all the actions, all one's actions are in conformity with dharma. Dharma governed life, because yoga, karma yoga, it becomes yoga. Then also we say, and one has to do all one's duties, convert one's actions into worship. Sayyum sayalai vayivadakvadu. Understand what is it which can convert your actions into worship? Just by offering your actions to Bhagavan. How can I offer your actions to Bhagavan? By having an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. What do I mean by simply having an attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan? By being clear about what my end is. Understand? I live this life to discover the truth, which is Bhagavan. Understand? That is the goal. That puts an end to everything, samsara. But to discover that truth, to live this life, I pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma. That's the only way. Understand now? This understanding makes one's actions offered to Bhagavan. Then when you do your actions with this attitude of offering it to Bhagavan in conformity with dharma, and how do you do? Worshipfully and prayerfully. Listen, so you, as a religious person, as an ethical person, you are a spiritual person. This is when you become, as a spiritual person also, I told you this many times, I spoke to you about it earlier. Next two hours I have to talk about it to you, about these things. So, then it becomes Ishwararpitam karma. Understand? Bhagavanukku arpikkappattadaga eppozhu seyalagumna. Understand? When does it become Ishwararpitam? The actions offered to Bhagavan. It's yoga. Then you can have the grace. This is what is converting one's actions into yoga. Converting a mere action into a karma yoga, thereby converting one's action into worship. One can have the grace, thereby one can prepare one's mind for contemplation. Therefore, performance of action is very important. You have no choice about doing the karma, in fact. Why? Because one has to understand here. The very physical body is what? A product of matter, isn't it? Mind, everything. It is impossible for one to remain without doing any action. If you do not do what is to be done, you will end up doing what should not be done. You know that? That is why edhaal pannit irukkano. Always you have to be doing something. You always decide what is to be done, then do something. Keep doing. Very important. If you do not do what is to be done, you will end up doing wrong things. To avoid doing the wrong things, understand now, always better decide to do something and do that right action. It's also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita all those things. Understand? Nahi kaschit kshanamapi tishtati. ಜಾತು ತಿಷ್ಟತಿ ನ ಜಾತು ತಿಷ್ಟತಿ, ಕ್ಷಣಮಪ್ಪಿ ನ ಜಾತು ತಿಷ್ಟತಿ, ನನ್ ರಿಮೇನ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ಕರ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಮೈನ್. ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಸಮ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ನೌ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಎಂಡ್ ಔಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ, ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಕರ್ಮ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಅರ್ಥ ಫಾರ್, ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ಲಷಸ್ ಫಾರ್, ನೋ ಹೌ ಶುಡ್ ಐ ಪ್ಲಷ್ ಅರ್ಥ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಾಮ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಧರ್ಮ, ವಾಟ್ ಡೂ ವಿ ಮೀನ್ ಬೈ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪುಣ್ಯ ರೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಾಂಗ್, ವೈ ಶುಡ್ ಐ ಡೂ ದಿ ರೈಟ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್, ವೈ ಶುಡ್ ಅವಾಯ್ಡ್ ದಿ ರಾಂಗ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ದ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ಆಫ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೈ ಬೇಸಿಕ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ನೌ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಕೀಪ್ ಆನ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್, ನೌ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ವಿಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕೇರ್, ದೆನ್ ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ನೌ ಯು ಕಾಂಟ್ ಮಿಸ್ ದಿ ವಿಷನ್. That's what is said. Understand? Because we think anything to become, we also have this statement, no, practice makes man perfect. Isn't it? Practice, there's some quote, people always we talk about practice makes one perfect. That is true, with reference to karma. You know, any action, once you do, and then you do it again and again and again, initially, you are of less experience. The more you do it, and you know, the more perfect you become. More efficient you become. And you more skillful you become. Faster you will be. My God, no. More skillful and more efficient and more experienced. That's why experience hands are paid more money. Understand? Because experience means your actions will be more perfect and more efficient. That's why we always look for efficient, experienced hands. The new person comes means not concerned, because they won't be that efficient, because not enough experience. Because the more you do, the more you have experience, the more perfect you'll be, the more efficient and more innocent contributive and all that. That with reference to karma, that's okay. But for jnanam, knowledge does not require any practice. Knowledge cannot be practiced. You had to think this, because we are used to that. No, see, values, you know what is right and what is wrong. You have the knowledge of values. The values have to be lived. Values have to be lived. That is what is practicing. When putting into practice means what? Oh, I know I have to speak the truth. I should not tell a lie. But if I don't follow that value, then I am not putting it into practice. My knowledge is not practiced. If I know how to cook, but if I don't cook, then my knowledge is still not implemented and then practiced, then not lived. That is, with reference to karma, it's okay. But here, knowledge itself is enough when you say, then no practice is required. Just the knowledge has to take place. Knowledge is there, knowledge has to become ascertained. As I said, avagamanam is mere understanding. That takes place by listening and listening and listening. Without listening to Shastram, avagamanam, understanding itself is not possible. Without understanding, how can I contemplate upon that what is to be contemplated upon? Then it becomes what? It becomes unforgettable. Understand now? Ascertained. That needs actually my disposition of the mind. For which you need Bhagavan's grace. Understand now? For which one has to live a life of karma yoga, a completely dharma governed. Dharma governed the actions offered to Bhagavan is karma yoga. But the only way we can have the mind, sit disposition of the mind required for contemplation, which itself will take care of jnanam. The ascertained vision, which is moksha. Is it clear now? The Karma Yoga is highly emphasized here. That is what here the third mantra, the third verse, the shloka, talking about Karma Yoga. Because people always, everybody asks me, even Radhaji used to ask me this. No, everything is clear, understand, but nothing happens. People, something has to happen. They want some experience. Why? Because the so-called, there are so many people, so many people who talk about realization. There are so many people who talk about self-realization. So many people talk about some sort of experience. One fine day, now, some got good time, and some experience has to take place. And people all celebrate the day of enlightenment. People think something is going to happen. Enlightenment means people think that something has to happen. Nothing is going to happen. I tell you, nothing will happen. Nothing happens. It's all the mind. Understand now? It is already there. It is not something you are going to accomplish what is not there. It's all just like nothing is happening. Just the mind is prepared. It will click. Just understand. So it's not something to happen also. That is why nothing is practically, because nothing is happening, that sort of thing we always feel, oh, nothing is working, nothing is happening. When people say Shastram serves as means of knowledge, when we say, oh, I've been listening now, but nothing has happened. A Shastra study is only to understand what is the reality, how the reality is. And afterwards, once you study, understand, you can forget, like how we have forgotten so many things which we studied in school. If you ask me what I heard in 600 physics, I don't remember now. Of course, certain things I remember, a lot of things I have forgotten. If you ask me what all Tamil, Thirukkural, I got so many Thirukkural I bi-hearted and then learnt. If you ask me whether I can quote all of them, I don't know. I need some reference. We do forget a lot of things. We know what a lot of things we have forgotten. What we have understood, we have forgotten, but we can recollect. We can recollect. Then if you think, then you can recollect. It is not in your fingerprints, points. Fingertips, you don't have it readily. Some we have fingertips also. Many things we have in fingertips. That means what? That is why. That is all that we need is the mind. That is why keep on listening, taking care of this mind by living a life of karma yoga. Prayerfully, worshipfully, doing your actions in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Then you take care of your mind, then knowledge will click. That's what Ramana says here.
So the knowledge will click, so it's a realization will come. So something is happening.
No. That's not happening actually. That's not happening.
Something will click.
No. Click means what? Click means, I just said, is already there. Click means what you mean as something happening. That's what I said. Knowledge will click means is already there. It has to become clear to you. Clear. It's not clear now. That clarity, lack of clarity of, clarity of what the reality, nature of reality is not because of, not because something happened, because of action here. It only, you all, the mind is prepared for that. If you do something for, something clicks means what? Oh, I tried to buy some property and then I negotiated, it clicked. Means that's action. Here it clicked means what? I use the word click here because not as a result of an action. Understand now? Not something happening here. Only in terms of preparing the mind. Mind needs the preparation. Na manakkannal parambarali, jnanakkannal. Understand how? You need the eye of knowledge, we say that. That means what? I mean, the mind is to be ready. Preparing the mind is important. Then Shastra study is there, your disciplined life is there. Understand how? Mind, it's a question of time. It takes time. That is how we also neutralize our prarabdha also. See, sometimes the prarabdha is called prabala prarabdha. Prabala prarabdha means when our own purva karma phalam also sometimes comes as an obstacle, patibandha. obstacle in, you know, in blocking our understanding of what we need to understand faster. Sometimes it slows. Pratibandha comes also. That is why to neutralize the punya papas or parabdha also, Bhagavan's grace is the only way. That is why the karma yoga is said, karma yoga, living life of karma yoga means the whole life becomes life of worship. And it, which implies all this understanding. How to convert this, etc. Okay. Now we see this. Karma yoga is he's talking. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Ishwararpitam nechaya kritam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. So Ishwararpitam. Ishwara arpitam. Ishwaraya arpitam. Ishwarartham iti arpitam. No, arpita means offered. What is offered? Any karma you do, it becomes offered to Bhagavan. So offering it to Bhagavan means not like you are offering coconut or banana to Bhagavan. It is the offering, attitude, entertaining an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. By having an attitude of offering all one's actions to Bhagavan, then one's actions become karma yoga. They become contributive, for mental preparation, preparing the mind for knowledge. That is what I said. What do we mean by offering one's actions to Bhagavan? I explained to you very well already. Doing one's actions to, in conformity with Dharma, to live this life, understand now? And living this life ultimately to discover the reality, Swarupam of Bhagavan. Living for knowing the reality of Bhagavan is what? Life lived for Bhagavan. Life lived for Bhagavan means what? Life offered to Bhagavan. Life becomes offered to Bhagavan. Life being offered to Bhagavan means what? Doing all, whatever you do becomes offered to Bhagavan. See, Paramporule Ariyum Purattu Vaazhgindra Vaazhkai, Paramporulukku Arpikkapatta Vaazhkai. Paramporulukku Arpikkapatta Vaazhkail, whatever you do, any karma you do also becomes what? Offered to Bhagavan. That is what is entertaining an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Therefore, Ishwararpitam, that karma, okay, that karma is Ishwararpitam, that means, na ichchaya kritam, na kritam, not done, ichchaya na kritam, okay, actions performed with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan, but not, which is in conformity with Dharma, but not done, understand now, anything offered to Bhagavan definitely is what? In conformity with Dharma. It's not simply saying, I offer all my actions to Bhagavan, my actions need not be in conformity with Dharma. No. And then now, actions offered to Bhagavan must be in conformity with Dharma only. Actions which are not in conformity with Dharma do not become offered to Bhagavan. Not Ishwararpitam. Therefore, the actions which are in conformity with Dharma means what? Here, na ichchayakritam means, actions are not performed according to one's likes and dislikes, according to one's own whims and fancies, but according to one's commitment to, according to one's knowledge of right and wrong. For na ichchayakritam, Ishwararpitam, but not na ichchayakritam. So action performed in perpetuity of offering it to Bhagavan, but in conformity with Dharma, not governed by one's whims and fancies, na ichchaya kritam. That karma becomes what? Karma yoga. That karma yoga results in mental purity, purification of the mind. That is what required for here. That is how you can be contemplative. with chitta shodhakam. Chitta shodhakam. That which chittam shodhayati iti chitta shodhakam. No? That which purifies the mind. Chitta shodhakam. So, chitta shodhakam, that which purifies the mind is chitta shodhakam. What is that which purifies the mind? Why do you need to have purity of the mind? Hey, without having the pure mind, it is impossible for us to be able to be contemplative. Understand now? Therefore, it's important to be contemplative. In order to be contemplative, the mind needs to be pure. And for that mental purity, one needs to convert one's actions into yoga. Therefore, so Ishwararpitam, then which is then conformed with dharma, it becomes what? Karma yoga, which is chitta shodhakam, which purifies the mind. Chitta shodhakam. Then, if purifies the mind, any karma performed with proper attitude, okay, in conformity with dharma, contributes for mental purity, which is required for discovering fullness. Therefore, mukti sadhakam, it becomes what? Mean, the indirect means for moksha. Mukti sadhakam. So that which helps you discover moksha is what? Mukti sadhakam. That which serves as means for discovering fullness, the happiness, is what? Mukti sadhakam. Mukti sadhakam. Mukti adaivadarku udhuvadu mukti sadhakam. That which serves as means. So, karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, serves as an indirect means for moksha. Why? Knowledge is the direct means of moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge of the reality itself is knowledge of fullness, which is attaining fullness, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge itself is moksha. Therefore, what is the means then? Karma yoga, what is a karma yoga? How does karma yoga contribute for moksha? By preparing the mind for knowledge, which is moksha, it becomes a means for moksha. Therefore, karma yoga is what? An indirect means for moksha. Say, mukti sadhakam. Understand now? Mukti sadhakam. So, knowledge is the direct means. Karma yoga prepares the mind for jnanam by making the mind pure. Therefore, it is what? Chitta shodhakam, mukti sadhakam.
ईश्वरार्पितं नेचया कृतं ईश्वरार्पितं नेचया कृतं चित्तशोधकं मुक्तिसाधकं चित्तशोधकं मुक्तिसाधकं.
ओके, सो हियर and we will talk about other things also.
Kayavangmana kayamuttamam kayavangmana kayamuttamam pujanam japas chintanam kramat pujanam japas chintanam kramat.
Okay. See, this is the fourth verse, is very beautiful verse, wherein he emphasizes the importance of worship and prayer. Okay? The importance of living a religious life as means of preparing the mind for jnanam, which is moksha. So, also, we'll talk about, before I go to this, so, you said this, we have this karma. The three types of karma. Karma means what? What three types of karma? You say kayikam karma, vachikam karma, and manasam karma. Mental activity, oral activity, and physical activity. Threefold karma we have. And here, whatever is the karma, that's a physical, oral, or mental. There are actions which should be done, which should not be done. Our Veda talks about many types of karma. We say, nityam karma. Nitya karma, nityam karma. What do we mean nitya karma? Nitya karma, the actions which have to be done regularly. Nityam karma, daily, nitya karma. Nitya karma, then anitya karma. Anityam karma. We say anitya karma, don't think time bound, okay? Anitya karma means what? Now we say the karma to be performed occasionally. Not every day, but once in a while, that be karma has to be performed. Nitya karma, anitya karma. And we also have, what do I mean by nitya karma? Nitya karma, no, every day, whatever you have to do every day is what? Like you have to bathe every day, eat every day, all nitya karma. We do. Nanitya karma, once in a while, karmas we performed, done once in a while. Like what? Suppose we don't do, the shraddham comes. Shraddham means pitru tarpanam comes. You don't do every day, you don't do. Once, some people do every month, masikam karma they do, or varshikatithi they do, once in a year, they remember the death, the tithi, they remember that they do pitru karma, the occasionally done. And once in, sometimes certain things we do only, certain karmas are there which you do only before harvest or after harvest, like that, certain karmas are there. See, once in a while to be performed, actions we performed once in a while, occasionally, not regularly every day. Nitya karma, anitya karma. We also have here, then, vihitam karma. Vihitam karma means what we say here. No? Vihitam karma is nitya karma. Vihitam karma means definitely they have to be done. Vihitam karma. What you should do. Definitely. Vihitam karma. Prescribed duties. That vihitam karma can say doing one's duties. Is a vihitam karma. In fact, there's no excuse. No, I don't want to do. Vihitam karma. And we say pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma. Both mean the same. Pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma. Pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma means what? Prohibited actions. No, prohibited actions. Pratishiddha or nishiddha. Prohibited actions. So, prescribed duties, prohibited actions. Pratishiddha or nishiddha. Prohibited actions. What we should not do also. Then do's and don'ts. Okay? And it does not say you should do, you should not do. If we do pratishiddha karma, what will be? That's what Shastra says. That's what Veda is very different. It does not tell you not to do, to do. What is pratishiddha karma? What are prohibited actions? No, suppose there are certain things. No, what you should do, what you should not do. Matru devo bhava, pitru devo bhava, acharya devo bhava, atithi devo bhava. And you say, no, may you do this, may you worship your father and mother like, no, Bhagavan. No, suppose you say, may you treat your guest like God. May you treat your teacher like Bhagavan. Treat with respect, no? How to treat, also it teaches. Same way as just now. Satyam vada, may you speak the truth. Dharmam chara, may you live a life of dharma. Acharya dev, matru devo bhava, pitru devo bhava, acharya devo bhava, aditi devo bhava. Then kalanjam na bhunjita, may you not eat meat. No. Suram na pibet, may not take alcohol, and even any intoxicating drinks. Suram na pibet. So all these things it says. I don't know whether it's appropriate to say these things here. it's all Vedic, okay. Very simple things which says. Then we have prohibited actions, nishiddham karma, and we say, no, things like this. Then you also have prayaschitta. We have one more thing, kamya karma. Now kamya karma means what? Kamya karma means performing some actions or rituals specifically for specific results. Doing specifically for specific reasons, specific ends. Kamya karma. For the sake of fulfilling a specific, for accomplishing specific ends, you do a specific karma. It's called kamya karma. Kamya karma. Nothing else can do kamya karma. This is kamya karma. Where prayaschittam karma. So prayaschittam karma, if you say prayaschitta karma, prayaschittam karma. Now always see doing or performing rituals to neutralize the ill effects of unknowingly done previous wrong actions. Prayaschitta karma. This is what people say parihara puja. Understand, it will not totally undo, but still pariharam. Understand, people say, no, when prayaschitta karma we do. See, unknowingly we might have done something wrong. And we have done, so there will be some ill effects. How to ward off the ill effects? Sanju panniya ache, sanju tariyamalo. It will definitely is going to come. What can we do? At least you cannot totally undo it, you can neutralize the ill effects. Now by doing some other karma. That's called prayaschitta karma. So these are all, you know, karmas which Ashtaram talks about. If you see, that is why, whether you do vihitam karma, avihitam karma, okay, and then prescribed duties or nitya karma, and here, whether it is prayaschitta karma, whether it is a kamya karma, all these karmas, karma here means it is not only karmas, different karmas we talk about, whether the karma which is prescribed in the Veda as a ritual, or it is a mundane activity, a worldly activity which you do, not prescribed in the Veda, but you do as an action. So it's a secular or sacred. Secular action means what? Anything, any mundane activity is secular activity. And sacred means what? Any ritual prescribed in the Veda. The religious activity. Any action, okay? So all these things which you stay, and then we say your own duty is what? Nitya karma. Vihitam karma. Doing one's duty is a vihitam karma. Nobody has to come and tell you what is your duty. If you know your role play, and you know what is to be done, now in playing a role. So it's very, all these karmas are there, understand? But here, in doing all of them, in doing all these actions also, what you see, what you do here is, now understand what is prohibited action, understand what is, you know, the nitya karma, vihitam karma, all these things, then you see, that is why, whether you know all these things or not, doesn't matter. Understand your duties, do your duties in conformity with dharma, it becomes what? Karma Ishwar Arpitam. Once it is Ishwar Arpitam, then the actions are not, it is all from in conformity with dharma, not in conformity with your likes and dislikes. Therefore what? It becomes Chitta Shodhakam. That is how you have the grace, and this for Chitta Shodhakam, Ullathimi Adadarukku, there is nothing which is better than winning grace, tapping grace. Chitta Shodhakam, and which is becomes means of Mukti Sadhakam. You saw that. Isn't it? Now, we say, so our karma is fine. So you convert all your karma into yoga, thereby work becomes worship, that's also fine. But still, there must be a time in playing all the roles. In playing all the roles, now you have to really, and by being conscious of dharma, then you are a bhakta. In being a karma yogi, you are a bhakta. You are a real bhakta. for a real devotee. But sometimes, without doing any role play, look at this, without having any role play, just why can't we have a mere devotee? In playing every role, in doing all your actions are in conformity with dharma, the attitude is there, understand, still you are a real devotee. You are a dear bhakta. There's no doubt. But sometimes you can just be, you know, you can act, you can play the role of being a devotee. In all your actions also you are a real devotee only. But just playing the role of a devotee. In playing all your roles also you are a devotee. But playing the role of a devotee is what? To play the role of a devotee, in playing other roles, if you are a karma yogi, you are a devotee. But do you play the role of a very devotee for which you need to worship and pray? When you sit in front of some murti, when you do the puja, when you do japam, understand? Then what is your role play? You are not that time, there's no other role play is there. Isn't it? There's no other role play. There's no role play of doctor is not there. Just the devotee. In playing role of a doctor, still you are a devotee. But there's playing a role of a very devotee here. How can I play the role of a devotee? Understand? No? So that is when we sit and do worship and pray. Then you play the role of a devotee. To discover the devotee in all your role plays. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very important. Therefore, he says, you can worship. How can you worship? There is a worship means kaikam karma. The worship is an act of offering. What is worship? Worship is an act of offering. I told you many times this in the class. If it is an act of offering, definitely it is impossible for us to offer anything to Ishvara Bhagavan. It impossible means because everything is Ishvara, offerer, the act of offering, what is being offered, and the one who is offered it to, everything is Bhagavan, therefore offering is not possible. Therefore, this act of offering is only a symbolic act of offering. It is not a real act of offering, wherein we acknowledge the contribution of Bhagavan in the form of all the phenomena, natural phenomena, for well-being. So, as expression of our gratitude, we symbolically we offer, through this act of offering, we express our gratitude, that is worship. And also we seek Bhagavan, intensely pray for what you want. If you, to live this life, if you need artha, and now you do your best, also seek Bhagavan's grace. Without your efforts, you cannot win Bhagavan's grace. Make proper, adequate efforts, wait for the time, but also seek Bhagavan, minus grace, mere effort will not help you achieve anything. If without efforts, you cannot win Bhagavan's grace at all. Make efforts, do the needful, prayerfully. Then you have your efforts, Bhagavan's grace will have, bless you with what you want in time. Understand? Therefore, it is very important to get anything. Therefore, you can pray for artha, what you want. To pray for karma, pleasures, no problem. You can pray for karma and artha if you want. You want to live a life of dharma, you know the value of dharma. When you find very difficult to live a life of dharma, again seek grace. Avan arulal avan thal patri. Understand now? Even to have the desire for knowledge of Bhagavan, I tell you, we need Bhagavan's grace. And to have knowledge of Bhagavan, reality, you need Bhagavan's grace. And even to be able to live a life of dharma, you need Bhagavan's grace. You want to live a life of dharma, but you are not able to live a life of dharma, then you need some very tremendous emotional strength to be able to live a life of dharma. Again, you need Bhagavan's grace. Pray. See, know your needs. Pray. That's why that's all. Know your needs, understand your needs, then pray for that specifically, intensely. You will be blessed with that. No prayer as an action never fails. So pray and worship. Be worshipful. Be thankful to Bhagavan. And also be worship prayerful. And that act of worship, okay, that you act out the devotee. No, you're acting out. I mean, you act means you act as a devotee. Understand now? Playing the role of a devotee here is when you worship, that he says, kayikam karma. Not only that, other karma. Understand now? The worship also, the worship as an worship is an action, act of offerings an action, and which can be performed, you know, in three ways. How? Physical activity, physical. Kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma, mental activity. So how can you worship the Lord physically? If there is physical, kayikam karma means what? Suppose you have a murti there, you light the lamp, no, whatever you do, all these small offerings, no, when you do this karma, suppose to break, no, break the coconut, offering to cook naivedyam, offering, and then doing namaskaram physically, so all physical activity, then just to think of Bhagavan, no? Suppose you, Lord, you have upacharas also. You do elaborate puja, you have 16 steps. Like how you receive a guest to your house. See, you imagine, okay? Bhagavan is, you invoke, you do the puja, the whole puja is done, involving 16 steps. How you receive your guest in your house. The guest comes and give the guest your seat. First seat. Vanga ukkarunga, first. Vanga, vanga. First to receive. All welcoming. Oh my God, why he has come? Never think, no? So you receive wholeheartedly and give the person, the guest, your seat. Then immediately give some drink to refresh. Then afterwards, you ask the person, no? After refreshment, and you ask the person to go for, no? Then first have this, no? First you have this, wash your hands and legs, come and have some refreshment. Then go for a shower, proper shower. Understand how? Then you give clothes, proper clothes. Then proper food. And after food, nice entertainment, dance and all those things, dance, music, all those things. Very beautiful. As we say, no, first we start with like this, then the puja kayakam karma, which involves 16 steps, which starts like this, no? First, asanam samarpayami, asanam samarpayami. I'm going to teach you the puja then some other time, in the next class. I'm not expecting you to do the puja every day, 16 step puja, but I want you to understand that. So if you go to temple also, you can see that. No, asanam samarpayami. Now afterwards we say, madhu parakam samarpayami. No. Then we say, argyam samarpayami. You take us, no? Argyam samarpayami. You offer some water. Argyam means, no? Water used for washing your hands. Then padyam samarpayami. Then achamaniyam samarpayami. Water used for washing your mouth. Like that, you give one after that. Afterwards, then we have snanam samarpayami, snanam, give bath, shower also. Then sananantaram, snananantaram, we have acharam samarpayami, a lot of steps there. After snanam what? Then you say, then we have vastram samarpayami, upavitam, suppose we have that upavitam samarpayami, also we have that upavitam also we offer. Then we say, dhupamagrap, then naivedyam samarpayami, naivedyam. Offer all the food. And food also, you cleanse the food first. You got to offer the food to Bhagavan. You can't just offer like that, you know. Cook the food with all shraddha, with all reverence. Doesn't matter, you can't see the taste also. You can't see whether it has salt or not. Cook the food with shraddha, then offer it to Bhagavan. Before offering it, sanctify the food. You have to sprinkle the water, you know. Sanctified water has to be sprinkled to sanctify the food. To sanctify the water, you chant Gayatri. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitarvareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyoyo Napachodayaat. Say the mantra, take the water, okay? Then sanctify the water, chanting the mantra. Then sanctified water, sprinkled and food becomes sanctified. Then naivedyam samarpayami. Then again you say that, no, prana yaswaha, apana yaswaha, vyana yaswaha, samana yaswaha, udana yaswaha, brahmane yaswaha. Now you say this, then offer the food. After naivedyam, then I'm just saying, because how kayakam karma? I don't say you should do this. I want you to understand kayakam karma means what do you mean by it. Physical, no, the worship performed as a physical activity, done as a physical activity. Act of offering, no, as a physical activity. Then you do this, naivedyanantaram, after which you dhupam agrapayami, that is when you deal dhupam, incense and all that. Then achamarpayami, after tambul hamarpayami, how you treat the guest, tambulam also. Nobody is now bitterlant, who knows this bitterlant and leaves. The tambulam, when the tambulam becomes incomplete, isn't it? Tambulam hamarpayami, tambulam, after tambulanantaram, then we have, I don't know, suppose in the temples, they have entertainments. No, chaturvedavadharya, we listen to all four Vedas. One person who knows the Veda, no, all the four Vedas we can't chant, okay? One mantra from each Veda you take. No, agrimile purohitam, no, like one from Rigveda, one from Yajurveda, and the one from Samveda, that they one small mantra, then they'll chant. And after this one first entertainment, okay, now Sangeeta, Prahangeeta, Vavadharya, and somebody who knows classical music will sing some nice classical music, proper. Sangeeta, Sangeeta, Prahangeeta, Vavadharya, proper lyric, proper, some ragam, proper, you know, so properly sung. It's sung properly. In other words, even Nritya Seva also, you know that. In all the things, some Sastotra Priya, Stotra Vavadharya, and then Dravida Gana Priya, because we feel very upset with the Sanskrit Tamil, okay? Dravida Gana Priya, Dravida Gana Mavadharya, and then I saw Todo Dai Sevi, and somebody has to sing some Tamil Tirumarendu, one thing. Something you have to sing. And afterwards, then Nrityam, Nanivedi, Samarpayami, that's why Devadasis were there in the temples. Understand now? Nritya Seva is by Devadasis. Now we don't have. Now in Chidambaram, every year we have Natyanjali, and they perform, they organize, and different dancers come from different places, and then they dance now that, they dance in front of the Deva, Bhagavan, Nataraja. So Nrityam also, because Bharatanatyam, they would have learnt with all disciplines, let's say with Shraddha, do Namaskaram, get up and then dance, you show, and then Bharatanatyam is for us as a discipline, again Bhagavan, listen now. Then Nritya Seva, somebody who knows at least one proper lyric, complete all jati, tilana, everything, and at least one thing. It is in temple we do this also. Like this we have, but without dance and other things also, we have 16 steps. And this all comes under the category of what? Nritya Seva. Understand now? So everything we offer to Bhagavan. It's like how we treat a guest in our house, who comes to our house. So I meet very fast, okay? It's all kayakam karma. And at last, you do arati. First you have many, there are again ek arati, you know, again, with 3 weeks, then again 5 weeks, then again you can have big, no, with kalasham. We have, so ek, that's a big maharati. Then we have the campers. We arati, so all varieties of arati we do in temples. And at home, at least we do one, at least one small arati. Only ek arati. Not even because here you have camphor, you can't have camphor here. Because fire alarm and all those things. So some arati you do, then put it automatically, then do namaskaram. And then if we were women, we do pancha anga namaskara. Because 5 parts of the body touch. If we're men, no, sashtanga, sa ashta anga. Sa ashta anga, 8 parts of the body touch. Sa ashta anga, sashtanga. Falling flat. Dandavat pranama. And we have panchanga because our body structure is such, we do only for panchanga. We don't fall flat like men. Men are not supposed to do like us. Okay, you can fall flat. Ashtanga. Sashtanga pranama, panchanga pranama. We do namaskaram. And in offering also there is a prayer, no? I offer my body to you. That means what? Oh Lord, please bless me not to do anything wrong in using this body. Please bless me with knowledge and strength to, you know, to do this to use his body to only the right. Then, listen now. Suppose we do this physically. And then, so all my senses I offer to you, may through my senses may not do anything wrong. That is also, mind is everything. So whatever I do, let it be in conformity with dharma, may I not be involved in anything adharma. Please bless me to do the right and avoid the wrong. That's a prayer. Because we have no say sometimes. Listen now, this is what. Then we offer flowers. You know, offer flowers? It's, flower stands for your mind. Akshata and flower we offer. Why? Because you cannot offer your mind, but like how you fall flat, how can you take your mind and put it there? That your thoughts, your prayers have to be revealed, you know, probably offered at the feet of the altar. There is a flower always stands for your mind. That's why when you take the flower also, you keep it here in Om Achyuta Yanamaha, Om Ananta Yanamaha, Om Govinda Yanamaha, Om Keshava. This is the time should be given for you to take. That's why we offer it here, then we keep it. Because it stands for your mind. O Lord, I offer my mind to you. It means what? I offer my mind to you means, Bhagavan has accepted, there's a prayer. I offer my mind to you, thereby may my thoughts be. And it's okay. May all my thoughts, be mastered well, that may I not think of anything doing wrongly. I don't have a say. I don't say over my mind. That's what is offering one's mind. Also, asking for Shama and Dhamma, etc. I'll explain to you in the next class. It's time now. So this is mind. This is how Kayikam Karma. In Vachikam Karma, what you do? You sing bhajans, you sing stotras, this is Vachikam, chanting mantras, Vachikam Karma. And Manasam Karma, I'll talk to you next class. I haven't finished the law. I would run only one verse today. Okay? Chitta Shodhakam, that's about the third verse, fourth verse I'll explain to you next class. I just started introducing to you. I'll tell you next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.